We were all placed individually with divine purpose. The life that we have, the short mist vapor, we're only here for a moment. Strangers, exiles, sojourners, aliens in this world. It's going to be over so soon. God help us to be used. In Christ, we are salt and we are light. If you are saved, then you are sent. Listen, we are not called to be monastic. We're called to be missional.
It's time for today's message, friends, from Live in the Light, and we are in a new series on the role of missions in the life of every believer. The idea of missions isn't just short-term trips or missionaries to foreign lands. It's a lifestyle, a calling that God gives us right when we're saved. We are saved by Him to be sent for Him. And last time when we talked about being salt of the earth, we dug into the passage in Matthew chapter 5 that talks about believers being salt of the earth and light of the world. I love the picture that paints of being a city on a hill providing light to those around them. Does your life look like that? Have you positioned yourself in your family or your school or your community to be a light to those you love? How about a light to those who are hard to love? If you want your light to shine for Jesus, listen up today. Open your Bible to Matthew chapter 5 with me. Here's Pastor Robbie.
For someone, again, so effectively using a time, but God will always have His salt. Always, always, always. And in the end, things will make sense to us. In the meantime, we grieve and we pray. But we are not diminished again in what we are called to do in understanding the theology that we are supernatural salt. Again, I need you. Again, all those alive in Jesus Christ, you got to take this on yourself today. It's exciting. It's serious. It's important. What an amazing opportunity. But here's what happens when salt goes out, right? Here's what happens. Jesus is kind of alluding this to. Some they will want nothing to do with the salt. Some will mock the salt. Some will reject the salt. Some, as we see, will seek to kill the salt. But others, when they see the salt and when they hear the salt, they are desperately searching and they will say, please pass the salt. Many will do that. Many will do that. Many are doing that right now. Because what happens is the salt stands out. The salt is different, as Jesus indicates, from the rest of the world. The salt sends a message of truth and righteousness. The salt is an act of love and grace and kindness. The salt stands out. And people see the salt and they notice the salt, whether they like it or don't like it, but they see the salt. And many will be so attracted to the power of the salt. And they will say, I need to learn more about the salt and what's happening right there. You know, it's so fascinating to me too. I've listened to several podcasts and there's much written about this too. Right now, there's quantifiable, measurable statistics of the young generation, Gen Y, Gen Z, and never before, let's just say, in recent memory, turning towards the things of the Christian faith. There are quiet revivals happening. Because what's happening is the young generation has tried the world and the world's been found wanting. See, because it'll never work. And so the promises the world makes are never fulfilled. 10:30 is clapping today. I like 10:30 when they clap. I like that. I do need to say, like, the 12:30 is our clappiest service, all right? They clap all the time. The 10:30 is giving them a run for their money right now, okay? And that's exciting too, okay? But again, what's happening is the young people are searching and the world says they just, and it never provides. So misery, depression, suicide, discouragement, all these things are happening. And they're like, there must be more. There is more. His name is Jesus Christ. So what happens is, again, so we have opportunities now. Like, I'm meeting them. Are you meeting them? They're coming into our church, but they're all over the place. Every one of us alive in Jesus Christ are surrounded by lives desperately wanting to hear the reason that we believe. Now, we will also have people that won't want to hear, but there's people that are around us that do want to hear the reason and the hope for which we believe, 1 Peter 3. And this is what Jesus is commissioning us with excitement and faith, that He wants to use all of us in one way or another. And so we have to decide, are we going to take Jesus seriously or are we going to kind of go our own path? Opportunities everywhere. This past summer, I was coming back from the airport and I jumped in an Uber. And I just wanted to, when I tell these stories, I want you to know, okay, I get in the car, I'm tired. Like, my preference is to sit there and say nothing, okay? Like, I'm not a small talk guy. I'm not sure if you noticed, but I'm not a small talk guy. And so I'm sitting in the car, and like everything within my natural kind of disposition is just gonna sit there and whatever. And then we're getting in the car, and then I just, there's this man, I find out, he's a young guy. He's been in Canada 2 years. He's from India. And, you know, you're kind of going along, and then somehow we start talking about how's Canada, you know, what's it like, what do you think, what are the differences, whatever. And I say, man, I just trying to kind of, an opportunity to talk about something a little deeper. I said something like this, man, I sure hope Canada doesn't remove from the foundations of where it began, just as the way to try to get back to the root, the worldview of God, again, founded on Christian principles, the truth, whatever, I believe this nation was founded upon. And then he kind of interested in that, talks a little bit. In the end though, he's Hindu, has been his whole life. I said, hey, can I ask you a question? Have you ever heard about what is the Christian faith? Like, do you know what it is? He goes, I just know there's like a guy named Jesus. And I said, can I tell you what it actually means to be a genuine follower of Jesus? And so what happened was we started to talk, and I was like, Lord, help me in the moment, right? To be clear and concise. I realized that for the first time in this man's existence, he was hearing about the message of the Christian faith and Jesus Christ specifically. And you're like, you know, like you're sitting in the backseat, tired and again, wanting maybe just to be quiet, but then you have the ability to be salt in the midst of a world that is decaying. Reggie McNeil, he said, we are to be the aroma or flavor of Jesus in a cemetery of decaying flesh. That hit me. And that's really well said. Hey, loved ones, this is a theological accuracy. We are the aroma or flavor of Jesus Christ, surrounded and in the midst of a cemetery of decaying flesh. You can spin it any way you want to and try to pretend and convince yourself it's not what it is, but the reality is you're with Christ and have life, or you reject Christ and you face eternal death. That's the reality. The Bible is so explicitly clear. And this is what motivates us in love and compassion and grace to say, it's not about whether I'm rejected or accepted, it's whether I'm faithful to the message Jesus Christ has entrusted me with. And I wanna be a salt that preserves. I wanna be a salt that prevents decay. I wanna be a salt that presents life. But notice what Jesus says in verse 13, right after this. He says, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. Isn't this interesting? So the other use of salt, of course, is flavor. And Jesus is like, hey, you're the salt of the earth, but he gives this really big warning now of what it means to be salt. Salt, technically, chemically speaking, is a very stable compound. Technically speaking, salt cannot lose its taste. I think what Jesus is referring to here is salt, though, can be adulterated. In the ancient world, when salt was mixed with, let's say, sand, then it instantly became useless, good for nothing. Throw it on the ground, trample it. So what is Jesus getting at here? Well, it's a significant warning for Christ followers to watch out for sand of the world that adulterates the salt of the believer. So what do you mean like sand? Well, think about it. What will produce more sand in our lives than sin? It's sin that ruins our salt for Jesus Christ. Nothing hinders effectiveness for Jesus Christ more than sin in our lives, right? So again, this is an important moment. So therefore, if we flood our lives with the love of money and greed, if we flood our lives with lust and pornography and sexual sin, and sexual impurity, if we flood our lives with gossip and division, if we flood our lives with vanity and obsessed with physical appearance and self and pride, if we flood our lives with friends that lead us away from the things of Jesus Christ, let us not be surprised when our salt has been adulterated. Let us not be surprised when we have no affection for Jesus. Let us not be surprised when we're not wanting to witness for Christ. Let us not be surprised we capitulate to the pressures of the culture. Let us not be surprised when we're drawing to social media than we are to the Word of God. Let us not be surprised again when we don't desire to be used of Christ because our salt has been adulterated by sand. Let us not be surprised. That's the answer for some right now, right here. The reason we have not been effective in witness for Christ is because, the truth be told, the sand of the world and the sand of sin has more impact upon our hearts than Jesus does. So for some of us here right now, Overflow, Orangeville, here, right now. For some of us, the first point of response and application to live a life on mission right now is to repent of the sand that has adulterated our salt. To repent of that, to ask for forgiveness, and ask the Lord to cleanse us and to purify us from such worldliness and sinfulness that we might be now ready to be used and that our salt would not be useless and thrown on the ground and trampled underfoot. See, but in the end, again, in the end, this amazing, amazing privilege and truth for every single Christ follower, we have been sent as supernatural salt. Amazing. Let's go to number two now. Number two, we've also been sent as light in the darkness. We've been sent as light in the darkness. Look at verse 14. He says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. An amazing passage here, so good to digest and to digest often. Here are three necessary subpoints from verses 14 to 16. Number one is this, know this, I must embrace that I am light. I must embrace that Jesus teaches me right now that I am light. Notice when Jesus says in verse 14, you are the light of the world. Notice he doesn't say you will be the light. He doesn't say you should be the light. He doesn't say you might be the light one day. Rather, he turns to his genuine followers and he says, you are the light of the world. That hits me. You are the salt of the earth. You know, in a world that's desperate for purpose and meaning and identity, so many depressed and without meaning, every single genuine Christ follower, you carry the identity and purpose and meaning for your life that you are the light of Jesus Christ. Hey, so the next time you're getting your resume together, you can put this beside your name, light of the world, light of the world. Now do it humbly, but do it, right? Now, again, I speak truth today, right? This is your reality if you are alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. You are the light of, I am the light of the world. It staggers me. It's mind-boggling. And yet it's true. Jesus tells us right now, well, it's not us, it's him in us. It's the Holy Spirit, the very light of God, his word placed again within us. We are the light of the world. So think about it, loved ones. We are entrusted as light. We are entrusted with a stewardship with this life that we live as light. Pastor Greg prayed this over Greg and Elena earlier today, Ephesians 5:8. It says this, Ephesians 5:8, for one time you were darkness. That's before Christ. That's before salvation. You were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Amazing. And notice the implications. You are light in the Lord. Now walk as children of light. Walk. Because, listen, I must embrace that I am light. If I'm saved in Jesus Christ, I must embrace that I am light. So imagine then Jesus says, you are the light. And we're like, okay, cool. Now you go hide it. No. That doesn't make any sense. So the second subpoint is this. I want to position my light. I must position my light. Look at verse 15 now. A city and hill can't be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand. And it gives light to all in the house, right? So that makes perfect sense. The point of a light is not to hide it under a basket or a blanket. No. The point of a light, it is positioned in the proper place to give light to all that are in the house. So listen, Christ's followers must position their light so that it shines. Are we positioning our light in a place where it shines, right? We can't hide our light. That's what Jesus says. You're not given the stewardship of light and then hiding the light. No way, right? As the song says, right? Hide it under a bushel.
No.
I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel.
No.
I need more people to say no. Way to go, Michael. I can count on Michael in the front row here. I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel.
No.
There you go. I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine. Come on. Let it shine. Let it shine. Amen. It's so good, right? It's so good. And that's so true. God's given me this light. Well, then how can I hide it? Remember, one of the beautiful reasons we plant Hope Hamilton is because we're positioning their light in a way that we cannot right now as Hope Oakville. We are sending them out as salt and light to position their light in the darkness in a place where God will use in a very powerful way. This happens as his church. This happens again as individuals all over the place. So you might ask right now, okay, position my light. Well, how do I do that? Can you get a little bit practical? Are there applications of how I can position my light? There are thousands of applications for this. Let's just take one series of applications. How do I position my light? Well, the first thing is this, I must engage others. Like I must put myself in places with others, people, where my light can be seen. Right? Like that should be obvious. It's hard to shine my light from the couch binge watching a TV series, right? I can't hide all the time and not be willing to engage with others so that no one's ever going to see my light. So here are some very practical applications. Again, just a couple of thousands, right? How can I engage? How can I shine light right now? Well, here's some examples. Here's some suggestions. Walk in your neighborhood often around the same time. Seeking to meet people, seeking to strike up conversations, seeking to be used in this way. Kind of in the same light, use repeat visits to grocery stores, haircuts, coffee shops, and so on, where you're establishing relationships, you see people, you have the chance to be familiar and to be known. By the way, there's many of you that are very, very good at this. And, you know, some of us, again, just that's not our personality, but we have to find ways that we can engage others with the light. And you can be so creative in this, right? In the ways that we can do that. But there has to be a heart that wants to do it. Intentionally meet people in your building. Maybe that's your context, right? You're there and you are purposely seeking acts of kindness and love to be light that people will notice. Utilize hobbies for engagement with others. That's a big one as well, right? You're doing the hobby you love, but how can we incorporate that in new ways, whether it's a gym or whatever other things are there? Play amateur sports. This has been a great thing for me in my life and just even coaching now, all the stuff to get out of the bubble and to get in, to be around people, to try to shine light. Here's some more suggestions. Volunteer alongside others in your community. Parents or relevant, again, individuals, get involved in your child's school, what to be light. Participate in city events. Be there, be seen, engage. Serve in your neighborhood. Serve the elderly, a huge opportunity there as well. Use your home, show hospitality. Invite them in, be a source of blessing. Again, engaging others for the cause of Christ, to be salt, to be light where we are. You see it again. If one of the applications and the measurements right now, if we're genuinely saved in Jesus Christ and we have no engagement with our community, with others outside of Christ followers, that's a problem. That's a problem. Okay, every single one of us needs to have an application and hopefully multiple opportunities. We again, how can you shine your light if you're never seen? Now, a lot of us are in places naturally. And we need to just pray for a greater fear of the Lord than a fear of man. Because in our workplaces, right, in small but I think significant ways, we can choose when God gives us opportunities to shine our light for the Lord Jesus Christ. I know one of the greatest inhibiting factors to this is fear. I understand. I feel it too. But Lord, again, cause us to fear you more and cause us to fear people spending eternity without you more than our desire to be liked for a few minutes. Lord, would you do that? I think he will do that. I think he has done that over the ages and he will continue to do that as well. So I must embrace that I am light. I must position my light. And then thirdly, I must shine my light, obviously. That's verse 16, right? In the same way, he gives illustration. Listen, look at. Let your light shine before others. You're going to be seen so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So what are we learning? We are sent to shine. We are sent to shine. How are we primarily to shine in verse 16? Through good works, which encompasses so much, right? Which we've talked about today. Now, I totally agree that Christ follower, genuine Christians should be excellent employees. I think genuine Christ followers should be the best employees. I think that genuine Christ followers should be outstanding bosses. Not perfect, but outstanding. I think Christ followers should be unusually generous, noticeably compassionate and gracious, forgiving. I believe Christ followers should refuse to be lazy. I think we should work hard for the Lord Jesus Christ. Work ethic should be very important among Christ followers. We should stand out with integrity and honesty in our surroundings. I agree that Christ followers should love to care for the poor. and to help the weak. Why? Because it's who Christ is, and it's who we are increasingly becoming. This morning in my own Bible readings, I'm in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and we all with unveiled face beholding the glory of the Lord are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another, right? We are being transformed in the image of Jesus Christ. We look like Jesus Christ. We speak like Jesus Christ. We love like Jesus Christ bit by bit each day. Now, as we go through this today, I want to say this too, okay? I want to say this too. You should feel conviction today as I do. And what happens when we feel convicted, what can happen is, and the enemy wants us to feel condemned, condemnation, okay? That's not what the Lord is doing. That's not what he is going for at all, okay? What I want you to hear today, conviction is good, but see what's happening. Don't let it result in discouragement, right? Man, I stink. Man, I'm not doing anything. Wow, I should just give up altogether. No, no, no. That's what the enemy wants you to do. You can feel convicted. Listen, don't be discouraged. Be encouraged. Be expectant. Why is God bringing this word to you right now? That's what's happening. He is bringing his word to your life right now from Matthew 5, 13 to 16. He is bringing your word of what it means to be supernatural salt and to be light in the dark. Is God bringing this word to you right now to discourage you and to scold you? No, he never does that. He's not bringing this word to you right now to be like, man, you stink. You call me one of my children, pff, whatever. Forget you. He brings this word today. Why? Because he loves you. He brings this word to your heart today because he's like, my child, I want to use you. You see, that's what's happening today. He brings this word to you right now because he has called you and chosen you and redeemed you and adopted you and is sanctifying you. And one day he will return for you. He has equipped you. He has put his Holy Spirit in you. He has gifted you. And again, listen, listen, listen. He brings this word to you today because he wants to use you. So he's like this. He is pulling you towards himself today to say, hey, there's a lot of wonderful things I could do through your life that I've given to you. Will you agree by faith to allow me to powerfully work within you that you could be salt and light where you are with the short lifespan you have left in relative terms to this, the history of the world, and not to mention eternity? Hear that again today. God is not scolding you today. He's loving you. He's loving you because he wants to use you. This is why Jesus Christ, again, brought this word. Just by way of some encouraging theology, I'd love to back up some passages with some biblical, again, references. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. This is a very, very familiar passage. At least it should be for us. By grace, you've been saved through faith, not your own doing. It is the gift of God. That's a good word, eh? Just anyone right now, if you think you're saved through works, you need to read your Bible, okay? This is not your own doing. It is the gift. It is the grace of God. Just making sure. I didn't say that at 8:30. I'm saying it now because I believe some people need to hear that. You do not save yourself. You are saved by grace. Not a result of works that no one may boast, right? If we save ourselves, then we boast. Look at verse 10. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. That is a beautiful, beautiful verse. We are the workmanship of God created for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So let's just mark this up a little bit. Let's go to the first one. Notice we've been saved. We've been saved. Saved by grace through faith, okay? Let's go to the second one, okay? From saved, we are then sent. We are saved. We are the workmanship of God created in Christ Jesus to be sent for good works. Incredible, okay? And then the third part, right? That we would shine. That God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We are to shine, again, the fruit from our salvation. We are sent and we shine the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. Beautiful. It's awesome. I like the colors. They're very nice. They're very nice. I like that. You know, I love sequences too right here, right? It's just good theology. Every single person saved in Jesus. You are not saved to sit there. You are saved and sent. You are sent to shine. Every one of us on our own way. You can do things I can't. Okay? Awesome. We were all placed individually with divine purpose. Again, with the life that we have, the short, mist, vapor. We're only here for a moment. Strangers, exiles, sojourners, aliens in this world. It's going to be over so soon. God, help us. Help us to be used. So big deal today, church. Big deal. In Christ, we are salt and we are light. If you are saved, then you are sent. Listen, we are not called to be monastic. We're called to be missional. The vast majority will not be formal missionaries, but the rest of us will be informal missionaries, which means all of us are a kind of missionary. at the end. Every single one of us in Christ is a missionary of some kind. So maybe again, trying to be practical today, trying to give just, you know, some real feet on the ground and handles to grab onto. What do we do now? Where do we start? I've given again some suggestions already, but let me just kind of end here with where do we go from here? I'm salt, I'm light, I'm life on mission. What do I do now? Well, that's just a couple of things we can write down. Who are the five people you're praying for to be saved today? Who are the five people you're praying for, Lord willing, daily, regularly, that they would be saved? Every one of us in Christ had these five people at least we're praying for. Five people often that we're praying for to be saved in the Lord Jesus Christ. You can do that. You can choose to do that today. This is understood throughout the early church and all the way through. Your greatest relationships are your greatest opportunity to be salt and light. Now, it doesn't exclude, again, Uber drivers and community. Of course not. Of course not. It's both and. However, your closest relationships, family, friends, coworkers, people that in your relationship with, be expected. So many of you are already doing this. Some of us need the push to trust God for more. You can take what is the gospel track today. You say, well, what is that? You can put a picture up here. It's a very simple but powerful, biblically, again, accurate track. We have these at the Welcome Center right now. We have hundreds, at least this weekend. We had hundreds. We'll see how many we continue to have for those who want them. And by the way, I'll say this too. If you're here right now, could you articulate to me what the gospel is? If I asked you right now, could you biblically, I'm not saying you have all the verses memorized, but could you just explain to me what the gospel is? The answer is for some of us, we couldn't do that. Grab this track. It's tiny. So helpful. You can look at it to be able to where you are, that you can accurately explain the gospel. Again, man, like we spend so much time on other things. Take a few moments that you would be able to do this. And it has such a strong outline, able to do that as well. If you want dozens of these, we'd love to give you dozens of these. I usually keep a couple in my car where I am, where you are, opportunities, because you're witnessing to someone, you're being salt and light, and you can share, hey, listen, this is the message I believe in, and there to explain it or to give it. Okay, there'll be more to come in the weeks to follow as well. This is an excellent resource that we have. Again, this tiny little booklet thing, okay? Let's go back to the application screens. Fourthly, who and where can you serve with love today? Are you engaged outside of our church? Hey, every genuine Christ follower, you got to be engaged outside our church, somewhere, somehow. Got to be engaged. Got to shine light. Got to be salt. Lord, help us. And then maybe today it's this. Maybe with faith, you just ask and pray. Here I am, Lord. Send me. Maybe for the first time ever. Maybe for the first time in a very long time. You're like, Lord, I have no excuses. I offer you my life. Here I am, Lord. Send me. Important times, exciting times, powerful times. Let's pray, church. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, would you be cementing truth that is being taught? Would you be reinforcing encouragement that is being felt? Would you be increasing faith in the lives of so many of your children here today, that truly men, women, and children would be saying, maybe for the first time or maybe in a new way, here's my life, Lord. Here I am, Lord. Send me. I trust you, Lord. I need you, Lord. I ask you, Lord, to speak. Yes, Lord, may this response even now be beautiful. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening again today from all of us here at Live in the Light. Each day, we strive to share faithful and passionate preaching of God's word to strengthen his people and his church. If you want to hear more from Pastor Robbie, you can find past series and messages at our website, liveinthelight.ca, or on our podcast available on Apple, Spotify, or any other streaming platform. Hope you'll join us again next time on Live in the Light. I wanna-